The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and review one comic, except this week...
There were no comics.
Well, there were some comics, but we either hit them on the Major Spoilers podcast or reviewed them on the site already. There were like five comics that came out this week. Next week's going to be a little bit different. But the big thing that happened this week, of course, the big holiday and everybody giving me gifts left and right. So, you know, that's always enjoyable. Oh, people are here to listen to us not talk about all my fancy gifts.
Yeah, I got one of them, their tablet-y things. I don't even know what it is.
What tablet did you get?
Galaxy 10 or 3.
Oh, cool. Yeah, those are pretty neat.
I don't know. It's like my phone, only bigger.
Yeah, it runs on Android system. That's pretty cool.
It's literally exactly like my phone. It's the same manufacturer. It's the same interface and everything. It's like, you know when O'Brien would wander around the back of Deep Space Nine with that pad in his hand? That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, this week we're not here to talk about Christmas gifts. We are talk about The Time of the Doctor.
My Christmas gift.
Was it?
You might
want to ask for your money back or something.
Steven.
It was an okay show. I'll just say this right up front. It was an okay show, but I didn't think it was that great. There have been better Christmas specials. And there have been better partings of the Doctor than what we saw here. Now, that's not to say there wasn't anything good about this show. It just was not. I think too many people had their hopes really set high. And
by too many people, we mean Steven.
No, I mean too many people.
What happens
when you get your hopes really set up and you're geared up and then suddenly it's like, wow, that was good, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be in my mind.
Well, there's a thing. And I've had this problem when it comes to comic books a lot, is you go in expecting or thinking you know what to expect. And this special did a couple of things that were completely unexpected. And that, I think, is what I liked about it. And I think that's what the people, Steven, may not have liked about it.
Oh, No. It wasn't that. It was the fact that I did like some of the unexpected things that they did, but I think what they tried to do, or at least what Stephen Moffat may have tried to do, is try to wrap up too much of the current era of the Doctor. And by the current era of the Doctor, I mean Eccleston till now, all up into one little tidy package. And it didn't quite work.
I think everything that was wrapped up here, I think, is related to the reign of the 11th Doctor for me, but I can definitely see why you'd think that there's an awful lot, maybe too much going on. So.
I mean, you had every single villain that's appeared, every major villain that's appeared in the Eccleston forward run, more of the bigger heavies make an appearance in here, including the Silence.
The Silence are an 11th Doctor villain.
Right. But I just think that they're trying to wrap too much up into this one little package, and it just kind of felt disjointed a lot of the times for me.
It was very unfocused, but I think the thing that I really appreciated about Time of the Doctor is it was unfocused, but it was a real celebration of the 11th Doctor, who, by the way, is pretty damned unfocused. And it felt like a real 11th Doctor show in ways that others maybe haven't, if that makes any sense. Like the 10th Doctor's last episode kind of didn't feel like the 10th Doctor stuff that had come before. It was very maudlin and very sad and, you know, very, oh, this is the end of everything. And that's not necessarily what I expected from the 10th Doctor. Whereas the 11th Doctor is kind of a different beast for me.
Sure, I can understand.
And I felt like this really encapsulated a lot of what worked for me about the 11th Doctor. So, and he is the 11th. They said so in the show.
Well,
so no renumbering.
Let's be clear. He did say that for the characters that call themselves the Doctor, I am the 11th, but there have been 13 or 12 regenerations.
Remember
his regeneration is the last. So
those of you on the Twitter who have been telling me the 10th Doctor's Metacrisis regeneration in series 4 or season 30, whatever you want to call it, saying that should count as a regeneration.
It doesn't.
It does. That's what he said. Do you remember when he said my 10th self regenerated and kept the same face?
Right.
That is the regeneration he's talking about.
Well, I just thought it was because of the clone and the alternate, the cloning of that.
That is exactly what we're talking about. Thank you for
listening. What?
No, that's what we're talking about.
No, I know. But he says he only regenerates 12 times. This is his 12th regeneration. He's not going to regenerate again. I was fine with all that because it did clear up everything that people have been talking about, which is fine. I really, really like that part of the episode where he's basically addressing the audience and saying, here's how the count goes. If you don't believe me, this is now canon because we're saying it. Even in this episode, although they don't explain the Peter Cushing doctor at all, so who
that
knows
Peter
what
Cushing
goes on
doctor
with her.
Has never been part of continuity. Never been part of continuity.
But then, the other thing that I really kind of like, and this is really jumping towards the end of the episode, where Jenna tells the Time Lords on the other side of the crack in reality that his name is Doctor, and if that's enough for you, you'll do something to save him. And they just send out their regenerative energies to him and give him this 13th regeneration. But here's the thing, the way that it's handled, especially with Capaldi's lines when he first appears, maybe what we're getting is a total reset, or maybe we're getting all the regenerations that the Time Lords have.
He said it is a new set of regenerations.
Yeah. So, we're basically restarting over with the regeneration cycles, even though he says 13, here I come.
A whole new regeneration cycle.
Yeah. And so that works too. Mm-hmm. But then we get into Matt Smith's big goodbye, where he says, I'm going to remember this doctor the most. And the first thing that he does when he regenerates is he doesn't remember anything.
Well,
and that kind of, to me, even though we know that the doctor goes through some time regeneration sickness, it kind of, that one line kind of off-put everything that Matt Smith had said previously in the line.
When did he say he didn't remember anything?
When he looked at her and says, do you know how to fly this thing?
Right.
So if he was the doctor and remembered, he would know what the TARDIS was and how to fly it.
Wow. We are reading a lot into that. Here is what I really like. In this story, we see the 11th Doctor. And the 11th Doctor gets into a situation that he can't time travel out of, he can't clever talk out of, he can't sonic screwdriver out of, and he stays in that world. That the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith's Doctor, has been the one who's really played the most with time travel in ways that I think are interesting. When the episode with the Pandorica, when we would see effect before cause in the 50th anniversary special, we saw the War Doctor get hit with a Fez before the 11th Doctor threw it.
Right.
This episode shows the 11th Doctor spending 300 years or more in the town called Christmas, which, we may get to plots in a little bit. He spends that time. He gets old. He gets really, really old. He gives the explanation of how he can't just regenerate. This is the last life he has left. He's all done with lives. And then we get to the end, and he has his moment, and he has his big hero moment, and then he's talking about how he's wrapping up everything that he was, what the 11th Doctor was. So it's kind of a big kiss on the cheek. Thanks, Matt Smith, and your doctor was awesome. And, he actually says, I'll always be the doctor still, which I think is pretty cool. But anything, to me, anything, especially with Stephen Moffat, assuming that we understand what is going on from a piece of dialogue, I think this episode should shoot that in the foot. Remember, we've been hearing for 3 years, silence will fall on the fields of Trenzalore. And it turns out that the silence actually isn't the villain, isn't really even a villain. And at one point, you know, the silence and the doctor go into battle together, and we see what happens in the fields of Trenzalore.
The silence fell.
So that line, when he says, oh, I think we're crashing a little. Do you by any chance remember how to fly this thing? Could be anything. I love that open-endedness, but I think what it really comes down to for me is this is not the best regeneration episode ever. No. But it is a really good Matt Smith, a really good 11th Doctor regeneration.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't.
And even the parts of the story where, you know, I've seen people saying they were bored during the parts of the story where the Doctor has to stay and basically make himself a martyr for, you know, 300 years to grow old, to do something that he's never been really able to do or we've never seen him do. He ages, which I'm not sure if he ages because the TARDIS wasn't there or if he ages just because, you know, he's there long enough. But
we know that the Doctor ages. I mean, we know that he has progression of him aging. I mean, the first time that we saw
this Doctor do several hundred years at a time without physically changing his face.
Right. And but we've also seen the one that's not called the Doctor. We saw him when he first regenerated out of number 8. We saw him as a young face in the reflection. And then when we saw him again, he was talking about how he was 700-800 years old.
We have no idea how long the War Doctor was active.
Right. We get an idea that it's somewhere around 700. That was a number that was thrown out during that time. The other thing too is we know that Matt Smith has to be at least 700 years in that character, because at one point when they did the death of the Doctor with the astronauts, where he pops up in Utah or wherever he pops up, he said he was traveling around for 400 years.
Right.
Then 300 years more, and now another 300 years. So he's, you know, surprise me that we see some aging going on.
The Williamses died, he spent 200 or so years, according to bits of story, in Edwardian England, being a grouchy old man up on a cloud before he met Clara.
Right.
This Doctor has had huge wadges of unexplained time, which I love. And it has a fact where, you know, we actually see him acting like an immortal. But in 300 years, we've seen him do 300 years before. We've seen him go, oh, it's been 300 years. Oh, I look exactly the same. I think it's interesting that here in this world, on this planet, for whatever reason, whether it's just because it's cool, he ages into Matt Smith in some 70% convincing aging makeup, which was kind of nice. But
on the fields of Trenzalore at the fall of the 11th, when no living creature may speak falsely or fall to give answer, a question will be asked, a question that must never, ever be answered.
Yes.
But the Doctor is the only one that can answer that.
Well, was...
They were looking for the real name of the Doctor. That's what the Time Lords were wanting, so that they knew that they could come through. So
Clara jumped into his mind.
Right.
And Clara, I believe, may have heard River Song when she said his name in before Day of the Doctor, at the end of the Name of the Doctor, I want to believe. But I'd have to go back and watch that episode, and frankly, I don't have access to it right now. I had to get a new DVR box this week.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is, and this was one of the things that was somewhat confusing to me, if the what was it called, the papacy, what was the church group name that protected the planet, that sealed off the planet?
I thought the only name that I remember off the top of my head was the papal mainframe. They became known as the Church of Silence.
Right, but isn't that the same group that in the last Doctor they were fighting the angels on that ship? Okay. The question that I have is, if they've sealed off the planet, no one can get through.
Yes.
And if the doctor left and had no intention of ever returning and speaking the name of the doctor, why was everyone still trying to get through and blow everything up? Wouldn't that have been the quick answer as well? I'm never coming back to this planet again. See you, everybody.
I don't know. I suppose that would be one way to look at it, yes. But I think there's also a question of when you actually watch this episode and what he does in it, Clara keeps calling him on it. She's like, why don't you leave? Why don't you go? Why don't you, you know, run off and do your thing? And he's like, I can save one or two lives here, and every life saved means something. I'm not sure exactly. That may be a plot hole, or that may just
The only thing that I can think of is because he's already been to Trenzalore before and saw his grave, that in his mind he's like, well, I can't alter my own timeline, so therefore I have to stay here and do whatever I have to do, except speak my name into the crack.
He sends the TARDIS away.
Right.
And then the TARDIS is gone for like 300 years.
Well, that's because Jenna grabbed it while it was dematerializing.
Her name is not Jenna.
Whatever her name is.
Her name is Clara. Jenna is the actress.
Right, right, right.
You are
We've been interchanging the Doctor and Matt Smith and everyone else multiple times here.
Well, I didn't.
Whatever. I'm not going to argue with you on that, Matthew.
Okay.
Jenna, the actress, grabs the key, and that's what threw the TARDIS returning for 300 years.
That's what took it so long.
Yes. But still, I'm not. That seems to be this part that seems questionable.
Well, and frankly, if I look at this episode, if I look at the breakdown of it, I don't know that it's about the plot. I mean, if you look at Day of the Doctor was definitely an episode about the plot. This is what's going to happen. This is what could happen. And these three doctors are going to get character moments in and around the plot. This was an episode that was all about character. It was all about Eleven and his interactions with Clara and, you know, coming to the end of his regeneration and him dealing with the weird uniqueness that was his life. So, yeah, plot wise, it kind of felt, you know, especially like Tasha, his old friend Tasha, could have been very easily River Song.
Right.
I mean, she's an old friend of the Doctor. They have the flirtation. She's obviously tough. She's a smart character who's, you know, in a situation where she's clearly being very, you know, clever and possibly up to something nasty. That could have been River. It wasn't, for whatever reason, whether the actress wasn't available.
Well, yeah, because that's the weird thing, because we know River Song's body is buried on Trenzalore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some weird things going on.
Well, and that's the thing about time. And this is something else. Somebody asked me today, at the end of Day of the Doctor, the 13th Doctor, or his 13th incarnation, the 12th Doctor, shows up, right?
Right.
And they say, oh, no, all 12 of him. No, sir, all 13.
Right.
And he said, why didn't the 11th Doctor know that he was going to regenerate? Because he saw his next self. Okay, now ask yourself this. Do you remember at the end of Day of the Doctor where the War Doctor's like, I won't remember this, will I? And they're like, no, you won't. And he went off to be all Wari and turn into Christopher Eccleston. And then the 10th Doctor went, I won't remember it ever either because it's not my timeline. And 11 said no. And 10 went, oh, I go off and do my thing. The 12th Doctor appearing in that special happens in his timeline after the 11th Doctor. So the 11th Doctor, since his timeline is out of sync, doesn't remember the 12th Doctor's presence in the story. But Stephen Moffat has proven over the last 3 years a couple of things. One, he loves a big emotional moment more than explaining how it happened.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of the problem when you tell a story. If you're going to tell a good story, if you're going to get everyone invested in to what's going on the scene, yes, you have to have good character moments, but you also have to have a story that is, I don't want to say makes sense, because this story does, for the most part, make sense, although there are a lot of big gaps in it that are unanswered and some holes. But I mean, you really have to have a solid base of a story to go on if you want to have everything else pay off. And you may, I will say I was not emotionally invested in Matt Smith saying goodbye. I don't think it was as good as some of the other quotes that we've seen as they leave, you know, especially the one that was when Davison regenerated, he's just screaming on the floor for 5 minutes.
Where he's like, Patrick!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so no, die, doctor, die!
See, I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Anthony Ainley chewing every bit of scenery in sight. That is a great regeneration. That is the second greatest regeneration in the Doctor's history, as far as...
But I think the story had a lot of questionable moments in it for me. And I think that then detracted from anything that came out of Matt Smith giving his goodbye. I'm also somewhat disappointed because I watched the behind-the-scenes video that's up on Major Spoilers this week that has the behind-the-scenes. And then there's Matt Smith, who's like, oh, I wish we had one more year to do the Doctor. And I was like, well, you could have had one more year. I don't know what the whole contract negotiations were, but it seems like if it's the Doctor who wants to step away, or the actor wants to step away from playing the Doctor, that's what's causing these regenerations. I'm sure they didn't sign him to 4 years and said, okay, Matt, at 4 years, you're gone. But you know, that also kind of, lessened the impact of him saying goodbye on screen as the Doctor.
That's like saying, don't read the comments. Don't watch behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, I watched the behind the scenes well after, I watched the episode. Was this a cool episode? Yes. Seeing the Cybermen and the wooden Cybermen and the Daleks and the Silence and the, what's Strax's, race? I forgot it.
The Suntarans.
The Suntarans. And
our invisibility field is failing.
No, it isn't, because I can see it. you know, all of that stuff really worked. I love seeing those big fights, and I loved, or maybe questioned, why all the people wanted to stick around, the church, or stick around Christmas so much when they knew that all this death and destruction was raining down upon them, especially years later. Why they didn't just flee Christmas and leave the Doctor there by himself with the military and whoever else he sided with in that.
The town very much loved the Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was their magical wizard. And I think that's something very important about this incarnation of the Doctor, more than, you know, many others, is he is very invested. You know, the first person he saw was an 8-year-old girl, and he pretty much ruined her life because he showed up, she said wait, and he came back 12 years later and he didn't realize it.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, trying to, especially the children of Christmas, you know, the interactions with the children, there's a lot of trying to live up to his own legend there. But I would say that plot wise there are bits of the plot that I can't remember because they didn't necessarily matter to me. I liked chunks of it. I liked the ending. I very much liked, with one exception,
which was
we've had this discussion before about Stephen Moffat. He likes to give us these life or death consequences and then immediately go, oh, but they didn't really die. Like, let's look at Amy's death. Amy is killed by a weeping angel, and then the Doctor finds out, oh no, she didn't. Or we get to the end of the Day of the Doctor, which, by the way, is a very successful, to me, refutation of this, is, oh well, I'm driven by the death of my planet, and now I went back in time and I saved it, but I'm still going to be driven by the death of my planet for several hundred years because I didn't know I saved it until now.
Right.
It's something where the Doctor ages and is ready to die, but as he's regenerating, he resets to young Matt Smith so that he can do his regeneration sequence, his big goodbye, as young Matt Smith rather than the old codger.
And that didn't make any sense either.
Yeah. He said, you know, he hand waved it as it's setting, rolling me back to the baseline. This was an odd regeneration. We've seen violent regeneration before. 10 to 11 was a particularly violent regeneration. We've never seen him blow up spaceships with regeneration energy, weaponizing the energy. But when you get to the point where he takes his moment, and he says, okay, well, I'm the Doctor, and now I take off my bow tie, and I drop my bow tie, just like the fifth Doctor dropped his celery and died, and the fourth Doctor got his scarf unraveled immediately after he regenerated. We have that moment, and then he turns into a creepy old fish face guy. I really liked the way that
it was broken down. I like that, too. It was just, bang, here he is.
It's like, bam. It wasn't because he used up all the regeneration energy. Yeah. And she's like, please don't go. And he's like, hello. Here's my thing. This is my theory, and I was discussing this with my wife. Do you remember the Ninth Doctor, Christopher Eccleston?
Oh, yes, I do.
With his North Country accent, up North accent, that I can't do. I apologize to English people. And then he hangs out with Rose, regenerates, and the Tenth Doctor talks like Rose. The Tenth Doctor has sort of that Cockney accent, the same sort of accent, similar accent. You know, I'm not going to go all Henry Higgins, but similar accent to Rose. And they go and they have fun, right? The 11th Doctor, whose initial incarnation is with the little Scottish girl and spends years with the little Scottish girl and loves her as much as anything he's ever loved in his 11th life, right? Regenerates into Peter Capaldi, who speaks with what? A Scottish accent. So you say to me, why does the new Doctor sound Scottish? You wouldn't say that because you didn't really pay attention. Because of his love of Amy Pond.
Well, I mean, he does have that flashback of seeing her.
He does.
He doesn't come back as a ginger, but maybe he takes on her accent, which I think it's more of Capaldi maybe just saying, look, I'm not going to speak your BBC English.
Well, that's the thing. You're thinking in real three-dimensional terms. I'm thinking, and this is a rarity for me, about the Doctor and his world. You know, I had an experience when I was in college. I bought a friend a book about the making of Star Trek, which was fascinating to me, and she hated it because she didn't want to know about the making of Star Trek because to her, Star Trek was almost real in her head.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's kind of what I do like about the 11th Doctor is we get this whole episode was, and here's the unexpected answer to this little thing, and here's the unexpected answer to this little thing. There were lots of continuity touches, but a lot of them dating back to the beginning of the 11th Doctor's tenure, like 3 years ago. But it wasn't something where it was all massive reveals. Some of it was just like, yep, and here's that thing we've been talking about, and ain't prophecy a bitch.
Yeah.
You know? I felt like the special was successful to me on an emotional level because by the time we got to the end and, you know, Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor, walks up the stairs and sees Clara for that last time and is talking to her about how he's going to change and everybody changes and it's okay as long as you remember who you used to be. That was good. I like that. That was a nice, you know, summation speech. As 11 went out the door and became, you know, fish Scottish guy. And I like that moment. And there were clever little moments where he and Clara got to be, you know, fun pals. Clara didn't have anything that really necessarily defined her as awesome companion, but we saw a little bit about her life. And her family. She's not defined by what the Doctor is, you know, projecting onto her during this episode entirely. So I did like that.
Which was, you know, to be honest, that was also a little bit odd because I thought that when we first met Clara in her modern incarnation, that she was a live-in nanny for those kids and that she didn't have a family.
I believe that Clara died and that this is a new Clara.
Okay.
But I don't know. I may be wrong on
that. All right. Well, you know, whatever they write in the most current episode seems to be canon, and everything else is
that's the thing
that.
About time travel. Time travel changes the universe. You know, when Bill and Ted walk through and say, remember a trash can.
Right.
That's time travel. And some of this, you know, you can say, oh, you know, someone out there right now is yelling at their iPod going wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Congratulations. You said it, so I don't have to.
I'm kind of okay
with that.
I kind of hope that the new Doctor has no memory of his past selves at all. Mm. And that he has to approach everything fresh and new because he is in a whole new cycle of stuff. And that's so the first time that he meets the Cybermen, it's the first time that he meets the Cybermen. And the first time that he gets to meet the Master and so on and so on.
Except for the part where you say no memory at all. I actually agree with you. I think that would be neat if, you know, he doesn't have the barnacles or the years of experience and he's having to relearn everything.
Right.
I think he kind of has to because they've really set up, or it seems like they've set up what happened to Gallifrey as maybe a little MacGuffin for this 13th Doctor, this 12th Doctor, to wander about. I keep calling him 13. I'm going to be the renumbering people are going to find me. I'm going to call him 12. I'm going to call him 12, and the reason why I'm going to call him 12, ask me why. Chronologically.
Why are you going to call him 12, Matthew?
Chronologically, in the history of the television series called Doctor Who, he is chronologically the 12th person to regularly play the Doctor as the protagonist of the series. There you go. So you asked me, what about the War Doctor? Guest star. Much a guest star as the Valyard. Guest star. I am glad of that, too, that they didn't bring up the Valyard. Because right now you're going, who's the Valyard?
No, no. We've seen him multiple times.
Glad they didn't bring up the Valyard. I'm glad that this wasn't all a continuity fest. I mean, there were callbacks and moments where you're like, oh, that's this and this is that. But it wasn't like, especially coming right on the heels of a 50th anniversary special, it wasn't like, and this and this and this. Although I did love the moment where he pulled out the seal of Rassilon and he said he got it from the Master in the Death Zone on Gallifrey.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the five Doctors.
Yeah.
The third Doctor was in the Death Zone on Gallifrey. Actually, I think all of them were.
I would have liked to have seen the story of how he ended up with the Cyberman head.
Yeah, and I like the fact that we don't. I like the fact that we don't see how he met Strax and Jenny, and we don't see the beginning of Crazy Nun Lady. I like the fact that there are untold stories of this Doctor out there. Because one of the big shame to me of Christopher Eccleston is his Doctor starts and says, I'm 900 years old. His Doctor says, I'm 901 years old and now I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the ninth Doctor. There can't really be millions and millions of untold stories in the ninth Doctor's life because he locked himself down to a time frame.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tenth did kind of the same thing because 10 was around for 5 years, according to his personal time frame. 11 was around for hundreds of years.
Yeah, yeah. Tress says, I thought it was a solid episode, even though it was a bit messy. 11th's final speech was great, and he went out like a sir. If it would have been cool if the 12th was a woman or another race, but I think Capaldi will be fantastic. Wayne says, I was disappointed. There were holes that you could fly a TARDIS through. I'm sorry to see Matt Smith go, since he's my first Doctor that I really related to. My interest will go back to pre-Smith levels with Capaldi. I hope it's better than I'm expecting moving forward. Chad Fopp said, I enjoyed it overall, but I feel there was a bit too much telling and too little showing. A lot of plot threads tied up, but so many of them were done with throwaway lines or montage voiceovers. It just felt like this could have been done a bit better if they tried to wrap up all those dangling plot threads in a couple of episodes instead of just this one. Rob says, I was disappointed. The story was weak and not thought out. I'm sorry to see Matt Smith go. The regeneration didn't actually happen in my mind. He just did one headbang or flinch, and he was Peter Capaldi. Matt Smith deserved a better exit than that. Might be the last new episode of Doctor Who I watch. The show's been going downhill since Moffat took over. This episode may have been the last straw for me. What is it? As far as the time goes, and I realize that this is a special and it's, 61 minutes or something like that, just a little bit over an hour. I was thinking, why couldn't they put it into another 20 minutes or another 30 minutes and turn it into a 90-minute mini movie? And they could have gone on and expanded that a little bit more. And then that led me to think, well, why couldn't they? I mean, I would bet the BBC, even though they're still getting, and my guess is that they're still getting paid from your British tax dollars, that Doctor Who merchandise has to be making them a crap ton of money that they could have afforded another 30 minutes of showtime.
Hmm. I suppose it's a possibility.
Arbor Day said, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the first run through. Then I watched the last 15 minutes of the repeat before going to bed. It gave me sad dreams I don't quite remember, except one that was about tragic things happening to the characters of Parks and Recreation.
So kind of a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. Joe M. One thing I like about Doctor Who is it allows for so many different kinds of stories. This is one of the kinds I like. Lots of nice references to the history and the lore of Doctor Who. I like the way Moffat resolved the 12th regeneration limit. Now, once again, I have to figure out if I like the new Doctor. So far, I've come to like almost everyone. Right. And I think that... I did like the references. Mm-hmm. I did like it going into the lore. I did like the way that they resolved the regeneration limit. I'll be interested to see if I like Capaldi.
I like the fact that the regeneration limit was not the point of the episode. So many people
Some could argue it was not.
Because it was literally the deus ex machina at the end. It wasn't necessarily how shall I get more lives? It was, oh, and suddenly he has more lives. And it's a fine point to make, but the whole episode wasn't how does the doctor get a new cycle of regenerations? I mean, that's kind of a boring sort of thought process.
Do you think all of Gallifrey gave themselves up? Or do you think we're going to see the crack in reality appear again?
Oh, almost certainly. I am dead seriously certain that we'll see more Gallifrey. I like the fact that when we get to the point where he's like, okay, I'm done. I know that I'm done. I admit that I'm done. Clara made a point of crying out to these people on the other side of the crack and said, help him, please help him. She basically went out and asked for help on his behalf. He was not searching for more regenerations. He was ready to go. But yeah, we will almost certainly see more Gallifrey. They've really set it up as Chekhov's gun. And for anything you can say about Stephen Moffat and his peccadilloes as a writer or a producer, he does not leave Chekhov's gun unfired. It may take him a while. It may take him 3 years to get there, but he does not leave Chekhov's gun unfired. Now, whether, the bullet is fully loaded or not, that's another matter.
Yeah. Okay. So final thoughts on this is that it was enjoyable. Not the best Doctor Who episode I've ever seen. Most certainly not the best Doctor Who Christmas special that I've ever seen. but it was a interesting story. I liked it. My son sat down and watched it with me, my oldest son. And afterwards, when my wife came home, he said, Mom, I got to see the doctor change into his new disguise. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And she asked if he liked it. He said, yeah, I liked it. So, there's some points there. And I'll say I liked it as well. I didn't hate it. But again, it wasn't wrapped up neat and tidy like the last regeneration went. I don't want to go. I like that the most. So there you go. Matthew, you?
I liked it quite a bit. I felt like it was very unfocused and there were a lot of bits and pieces that just were kind of there. How sometimes the things you go through and you're like, this is a really clean narration and this is a good story. And then sometimes your narration is like life and there's some weird shaggy dog story about being naked in front of your grandmother while trying to cook a turkey. That's what happened here. And there were things that weren't specifically tied into the plot, weren't tied into the regeneration, weren't necessarily heavy duty plot points or meaningful moments for the 11th Doctor and Clara, but they still kind of added to the 11th Doctor's tendency to just wander into a situation and go, oh, hello. For me, you define him.
I think that's how they should portray the Doctor from now on.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on? What are you guys doing, huh? What's that thing do?
At the moment where he's flapping around and the War Doctor is like, can you talk without moving your hands? And he's like, yes, no. That to me is very 11th Doctor. And I liked the fact that this special, it felt like an 11th Doctor episode. It felt like it was true to the weird, bizarre, shaggy dog story that is the 11th Doctor. And I admit it, when the bow tie hit the floor, I was like, aw, I'm sad. I like this a lot. Yes, it has its flaws, but frankly, as an old school Doctor Who fan, I'm used to forgiving a lot worse flaws. I'm used to forgiving, terrible moments. If you go back and watch the Five Doctors, I love it. It's a great show. It's awesome. And there are so many moments where you just have to cross your eyes and go, let's pretend that effect worked. So maybe it's just that I'm ancient. The things that I didn't like didn't wreck my enjoyment of the things that I did like. And going in knowing that it was a regeneration episode and knowing who was coming, get it? Knowing that Peter Capaldi would be the Doctor at the end of this episode, they surprised me with, both his arrival and the way the 11th Doctor exited. So I'm saying it's good. I'd give it a solid B plus.
Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics. Looking ahead, remember, due to the New Year's holiday, another Tuesday release for New Comic Book Day. So these are items scheduled to be in stores on the 31st. We should be able to do our we will do our dueling review next Wednesday on January 1st for all of those of you at home, because we're doing some things for the site.
Because you'll be all hungover and you'll be like, oh, God, I sure want to listen to two fat guys.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the best. That'll be the best thing in the world. Actually, it'll be 2 days later by the time you hear it. So the Catalyst Comics number 7 out from Dark Horse Comics. Juice Squeezers number 1. Mm-hmm. It's about people who work at the Orange Julius stand.
Nice.
Star Wars number 0, the Lucas draft. I have no idea what that's going to be about.
You know what that is? You know how they went back and told us the story of what the story of the story behind the story was? This is the story behind the story behind the story when they told us the story behind the story of what the story was.
DC Comics has The Adventures of Superman number 8, All-Star Western number 26. All the 26 come out next week, including Batwoman 26, Catwoman 26, Fables,
Flatwoman 26,
Flash number 26, and 26. Beware the Batman number 3. Also, Larflees number 6, Superboy 26, and Tala number 14. IDW Publishing has Doctor Who Prisoners of Time deluxe hardcover just in time. Judge Dredd Classics number 7. Did you read the Doctor Who that came out this week? Did you read that one yet? The Doctor Who annual?
No,
it's the one where the Doctor goes to like our world and runs into people that think he's Matt Smith.
I've read bits and pieces about it.
Okay.
But
I haven't read it yet.
I do like the fact that they name checked Peter Capaldi in it, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Thunder That's Agents number 5 comes out next week from IDW Publishing. Ooh, did you see that they were going to reprint the Gold Key Star Trek Classic series?
See it. I've already put it on my holst.
Yeah, 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 man.
I love that book.
So do I, man. I had that as a kid and just read through it all the time.
Those were the Star Trek stories I grew up with.
Image Comics has Artifacts number 33. Black Science number 1 gets a second printing next week. Manhattan Projects number 17. Rocket Girl number 3. Marvel Comics has Deadpool by Joe Kelly Omnibus Hardcover. That's $125.
Good.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 10. New Avengers number 13.inh. That must be the Inhumanity.
Either that or, never mind, International Harvester.
Savage Wolverine number 13 comes out. Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 7. Let's see. Afterlife with Archie number 2. Second printing arrives.
Let's review it again.
Atomic Robo Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur number 4 hits the stands. Let's see. Garfield number 21.
You wanna?
No.
Is it written by Mark Evanier? Because if it is, it might be good.
Imagine Agents number 2 gets a second printing. Knights at the Dinner Table number 204. Little Ernie number 1.
Ooh.
Lone Ranger Chronicles novel hardcover. Mercy Sparks number 3. Rachel Rising 22. Roy Thomas Presents Volume 2 of Planet Comics. That's a $50 book.
Planet Comics.
Thorgal.
Thorgal. Yes, Thorgal is when Thor was a gal.
Twilight Zone number 1.
Yes.
And World of Archie Double Digest number 35.
Twilight Zone number 1.
I don't know who publishes that one. I want to. It's not IDW.
Dynamite.
It might be Dynamite. Yeah, that's who it is. Dynamite Entertainment.
Dynamite. What do you say?
Yeah, that sounds fine by me.
And the Twilight Zone.
It'll be interesting if they're all new stories or if they're just retelling a lot of the
classics,
the originals in comic book form. You know,
well,
they did that. They did that for years.
156 episodes.
Well, that's 156 issues.
Yes, but you can't use the Gold Key series either because that had no resemblance.
Yeah,
to the Twilight Zone.
I was
not
talking about
the fact that
you know the Twilight Zone magazine went on for years just reprinting the scripts from the series.
But Twilight Zone, the comic book, the show was canceled in like 1964. Rod Serling died in 1975. Gold Key printed that comic until 1980. So that comic not only outlasted the original show by like 15 years, it outlasted the creator by half a decade. That's why we're reviewing Twilight Zone number 1.
The Twilight Zone issue 1, Trevor Richmond is a Wall Street investor who embezzled millions and is about to tank the economy. Again, despite desperate to avoid the consequences of his action, he goes to Expedited Services, Inc., which offers to help him disappear and enjoy a life of leisure in a new life. But what exactly is this new life? We will find out next week in Twilight Zone. Number one.
Want to see something really scary?
No.
A mirror!
Let's see. What does this say? So this is J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes.
Oh, and he also wrote in the 1988 Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Straczynski was a big part of that, from what I understand.
Yeah, so we'll see some of that.
Rockney O'Bannon and those guys.
Next week from Dynamite Entertainment, right here on Tooling Reviews. Until then, check out the website. Big changes are coming to MajorSpoilers.com in 2014. If you want to help us out, make sure you click on that Amazon banner. Make some purchases. I know the holidays are over, but maybe you didn't get something that you really, really wanted. Now's a perfect time to use your Amazon credits or your Amazon gift cards or the money that your grandma gave you. Click on that Amazon button and help us out. Or maybe in this new year, you want to become a Major Spoilers VIP. You can find out more information at members.majorspoilers.com. It all goes to a good cause, ensuring that we continue to provide you entertainment day after day, week after week, year after year, until we're too old to even move. At which point, I will don one of those portable Dalek chairs and have a little button put on my head.
I'm going to be one of those really, really old fat guys who has a cane that's also chair.
There is no such thing as a really, really old fat guy.
You say that, and yet I'm going to be one of those really, really fat old guys who has a cane that is also a chair. And I'll be like, hey, come here.
And you're somehow going to adopt a Jewish accent. Okay.
Hold my finger.
All right, everybody. Yes. Thank you and have a happy new year. And we will see you on the other side.
So you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.